Good evening. My name is Daryl Johnson. I'm from Sacramento, California. Glad to be here. Very grateful and thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness and mercy unto me. One of the things that we have in our service is quite unique. And I believe others would probably say it, that we believe in being led by the Spirit of the Lord. We don't have any preset agendas. We don't have any preset, let's make a theme for this meeting. Let's choose the ministers that we want to preach on each service. In some ways, that would be a lot easier. But that's not the way that we do it. And I think it's very important. And for this to work, what has to happen is everybody has to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And we have to be very sensitive to what the Lord wants and what he wants to say. So one of the things that we do before we come to this kind of a setting is pray. Lord, what do you have? I don't know what your needs are. You don't know what mine are. But the Lord knows all of our needs. And what he does is he chooses the messages, and the messages that have been, that we've heard since we've been here have been just right on time, exactly what I needed. And I thank the Lord for that. And I desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We're going to give a title to this discourse. It would be The Foundation of Righteousness. And there is an important thing that I think we should get a hold of. Right is defined by God. No matter what you say, what you think, there are a lot of philosophies that are out there. And there are a lot of ways that people see things. And you could say something like, well, what's right for you is not necessarily right for me. But when it comes to spiritual matters, what we have to understand is the only thing that we can look for is what God requires and what God desires and how God defines it. I want to read a few scriptures if you pray for us. I want to start with the scripture that in Mark, the 10th chapter, and I want to read the 17th and 18th verse. If we have that... If you have that, you can read it for us. If someone want to give my wife a microphone, she could read for us, please.
Mark 10 and 17. Yes. And when he was gone forth into the way,
yes,
there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?
Good Master, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life?
And Jesus said unto him,
Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good?
There is none good but one.
There is none good. Now, we're talking about Jesus here. If you can give me some water, too. It's on its way. Thank you. We're talking about Jesus here. And the thing that he's saying, there is none good but one.
That is God.
That is God. So what he's saying here, in essence, is that the source of good doesn't emanate from me. It doesn't emanate from you. It doesn't come from Jesus, who is part God. He wanted to point them back to the Father. So the only source of good comes from God. So the only definition of right, only definition of what righteousness is, comes from God himself. Now we are in a nation, a generation, and a society that is defining what right is. There are a lot of things that are foundational and fundamental that have been changed, that have been adjusted some. There are some things that I would never have thought would be something that we would change the definition of. We could take some things. One of them is gender. I think it's very evident in our circle that God created, and when he put it in the Garden of Eden, what did he say? He said he made them male and female, created he them, right? So our gender is being redefined in our society today, right? So we're non-binary, these kinds of things. That's a foundational principle. And there's no way to... The only way for a child to come into existence is between a male and a female, all right? And that's all God made. Now, you can go in the middle and say that there are freaks of nature or whatever you want to say, but fundamentally, there are two genders. That's all that there is. All right? No other way to look at it. No other way to do it. But we're in a society that has happened. Well, what did he say? A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, right? But what we find in our generation is marriage is being redefined. All right? We're not just going to say, no, marriage is not necessary. That's not what we're saying. That's not what the society is saying. They're saying, let's redefine it. Let's put it right beside two women can marry and two men can marry along with the man and the woman the way that God created it. All right? So what happens is in this definition, this redefinition, is saying, okay, we can just have all of it on equal basis here. And that's a very, very dangerous thing, all right? So we have to understand that marriage cannot be redefined. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's all it is, that all it ever has been. It is an institution of God. It is not just an institution of the world. It is an institution that God created. So there can only be marriage with a man and a woman. I don't know what you want to call two men getting married or two women getting married, some kind of contract, but it is not marriage. And what we have to understand as men and women of God is let us not buy into what the world is doing. All right? There is not going to be a redefinition of this. But let me tell you, there are a lot of other things that are being redefined as well. One of the things that's being redefined is church. All right? It's a lot different. You know, a lot of people used to believe much like what we believe. A sense of modesty, that there is one God, all of these kind of things, but now it is being redefined. You can do almost anything that you want to, throw it together, and call it a church. All right? So this is what's happening. Now, why is it important for us to look at this particular, look at it like this? It's important because they don't care. The devil does not care about my generation. He knows that we're not going to buy into it. He knows that I am going to look at this. The majority, well, some of us, some people are. But the majority of us that are in our generation are going to, there's going to be two genders, only two. There's going to be a marriage between a male and a female. And then there is a church is defined in a certain way. He's not concerned about that. Who he is concerned about is the younger generation. My grandchildren will not live in a world where there was only a man and a woman in marriage. And you see how fast this slide has been taking place. We started, I remember maybe about 15, 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that when we lived in Texas, one of the things that they did, they said, you know, we're going to put on the books that there is going to be a law that says marriage is between a man and a woman. And I remember all of us going into I remember talking to people, we're going into the voting polls, and we are saying that marriage is between, and we were incredulous that somebody would even think of something other than a man and a woman being in marriage. But let me tell you what they did. It's a very good, interesting thing that they did. It's not good, but it's very interesting. You cannot get it overturned by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional until you put it on the books as law. All right? So this was never on the books as law between a man and a woman per se. That is just between a man and a woman. Now we say that that's discriminatory and it's unconstitutional, so we can get it overturned. All right, a lot of things like this is taking place in our society. And let me tell you what the Lord wants us to do as a people of God. Let's stand on truth. What's true? Let's stand there. It doesn't matter who it offends. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We have to stand where God wants us to stand on what is true. The foundation, the most important thing about this structure here is not how beautiful it is and the fans and the lights and all that. The most important thing is the foundation of that everything is setting on. If the foundation is moved or destroyed, we're going to have a problem. It is a very unstable structure when the foundation has been destroyed or moved in some kind of a way. We need to understand that. So what is happening in the church today? A lot of things are changing. People are changing the way that they see church. And when I see it, it creeps in among us. If it's not, well, you know what? I don't really believe it like that. I know that's what you guys teach, but it's not really something that I believe. Let me tell you, I'm 61 years old. And one of the things when I was about 18 years old, I told this story before. Bear with me for telling it again, all right? My desire was to live a Christian life. I didn't ever want to do anything bad, and I always was a fairly good person growing up. I didn't give my parents that much trouble. I was not a saved, but I didn't give them very much trouble, and I didn't go in a different direction and all that, like some of my brothers and sisters did. But I decided early on, I said, you know what? I want to be saved, but I don't want to be that kind of saved. I wanted to redefine it. I wanted to, you know, I didn't think it was all necessary. And so some people think that, oh, you know, the brothers that are up here preaching, they have always believed it. No, we haven't always believed it. Let me tell you, every preacher has a history and every preacher has a story and every preacher has things that they'll never tell you that they thought and God changed their mind. All right. So here's what happened to me. I said, I'm not going to do what everybody, what my mother and what my parents are told me to do. My mother and father, the kind of example that they, I'm not going to live that. I'm going to go and I want you to listen to me, young people. I'm going to go and I'm going to find a good church. I had people that were friends of mine that were going to other churches that, and all I saw is what you couldn't do and what you could do and all this kind of thing and with us. And I decided I'm going to go and I'm going to kind of basically do what I want to do, but I'm going to attach God to it. So therefore, I feel pretty good about what I'm doing. And so I did that. I was a freshman in college and I was sitting in my dorm room and the Lord began to talk to me. I know I told you the story before, but listen, because I think it fits in here. The Lord began to talk to me and he began to deal with my heart and he began to say, listen, it's not about what they're doing out there. It is a personal walk with me. And whatever I tell you to do, that's what you got to do. I don't care where you are. If you're going to get into my heaven, you have a responsibility to do what I'm telling you to do. The Lord talked to me like that. And so in essence, what he basically said is, Daryl, and he began to show me visions of people that if you think you're going to do this, but this is really what's going to happen to you. And he began to talk to me like that. And then I cried. Nobody was there. Nobody was there for me to go down to an altar of prayer and seek the Lord and somebody give me some counsel. But let me tell you, the Lord was there. And the Lord began to talk to me and the Lord spoke to me and I said, all right, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you 6 months. And I'm going to give everything I have for 6 months, everything I've got. And I did that. And that 6 months was more than 40 something years ago. It turned into more than 40 years. You know why? Because we realized that the foundation on which this church is built is a solid foundation. I don't care what anybody says. You know why? Because I proved it. I was one of those. I would have been one of the first ones to leave. That's just who I am. Until the Lord spoke to me, dealt with me, and let me see, Daryl, this is the foundation of where I want you to stand. This is where I want you to stand. You can't go out there and still have a relationship with me. You can't do it. Now, that had nothing to do with my pastor. It had nothing to do with the brethren that are sitting here. It was a personal relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you something. And I really didn't have a person. It was the Lord talking to me personally. And the Lord deals with every person personally. He'll talk to you in a way that nobody else can. He'll speak to you on a level that no one else can speak to you on. He'll tell you things about yourself. He'll show you things about yourself that no one else can do without you being offended. But the things that the Lord told me about myself, he showed me things about people in my family and people that went in a different direction. He showed that to me and he said, that's what you're going to be like if you go down that road. And let me tell you what I've looked at over the years. I've seen people that go in that direction and I've looked at my life. It's been pretty boring in one sense, but it's been pretty adventurous in another. And here's the point. There is nobody that I have ever seen that is better off than I am, that have gone in a different direction. So here's what I want to say to you. The foundation, a foundational belief of the church of God is right. And I'm not here just trying to push the church. I'm just telling you what my experience has been. And I've had a lot of opportunity. I remember somebody saying to me one time, oh man, you're in Dallas and you're by yourself and you can do whatever you want to do. And I wish I was in that kind of a place. But let me tell you what happened when I went to Dallas. The Lord began to talk to me and he told me how to run the congregation there. And then when I went to Sacramento, guess what he's doing? He's telling me how to do it there as well. And here's the point. The foundation is right. Let people say what they want to say. Well, Brother Daryl, I think it's a little bit too stringent and too strict and too whatever. But let me tell you, the Lord wants you to understand this is right. All right? And this is what righteousness is. And the reason we're saying that the principle and the foundation of right, you can't define what's right. You start, the brother talked about the level and it being the middle of the bubble. It can just be ever so off. And if you continue that line, the further you get down that line, the more off it's going to be. Right here is okay. Your generation, you're going to be okay. But just maybe. But when it gets down a little bit further, let's just keep it straight, y'all. Let's just keep it straight. Let's keep it straight for your grandchildren. Let's keep it straight for your children. Let them watch you. Let them see that you're standing on a proper foundation and and things are going well for you. Look at the people that have lived for the Lord. And look at the people that haven't. Watch their lives. This is your evidence. May the Lord help us, all right? So, here's what we're doing as a nation. So, I was talking about marriage between a man and a woman. It went from that, I don't know what year that was. I probably should have looked it up before. I didn't know I was going to say it, but probably in the early 2000s. So 20 years later, where we are today is something that I could not have even imagined that we would be here. I couldn't imagine it. If you go back 40 years, and say that America and our generation would be in the place that they're in right now, that there would be marriage between, quote, end quote, between two men, and marriage between two women, and then just go a step beyond that and say, listen, I'm neither a male nor a female. My pronouns are they and them. And then there is a demand that you respect that. A demand that you respect it. Something's happened to the foundation of America. Something is happening to the foundation of America. And what's happening, if we're not careful, the church that sets, then something will happen to our foundation, because there's something about us that we want to embrace the world. I don't want people not to like me. I want them to like me. And I believe that is something natural with all of us. But let me say it like this. They are not going to like you when you stand against them. I'm not here going to put my hands on my hip and tell you how it really should be. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to stand firm for what God wants me to do. That's what we have to do when we go back home to our home churches. We've got to be in a place that, well, we love you. And if someone that was like that come into our congregation, I am not going to preach at them. That's not what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to do? But I'm not going to capitulate to their demands either. I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, give us what we need to stand on this solid foundation and bring those people on to where we are. Lord, help us. It's not that we go to where they are, where they come. We bring them to where we go, get them, and we bring them to where we are. To the foundation, all right? Let's go a little farther here. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I want to read at the first verse. Romans 10 and 1, please. So as a nation, as a culture, in the name of political correctness, objectivity, and fairness, we are disconnecting from the root source of what right is. And as a church, if we're not careful, we'll disconnect from the source of what right is by trying to appease the world. Trying to appease people. All right, read, please.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God,
yes,
for Israel is that they might be saved.
Yes.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
They have a zeal of God.
But not according to knowledge.
But not according to proper knowledge. You know, a lot of churches are like that. Now, here's something that I think maybe we should preach on a little bit more or give some lessons on. People feel like, oh, there is the church of God. Oh, I heard somebody say, well, y'all believe that y'all the only one that's going to heaven. We have never believed that. At least I haven't ever believed that we're the only one. I believe we're going. But I believe that there are other people that we may not know. People that are saved. People that are in other churches. Other churches that are living to the level of their understanding. And as they live to the level of their understanding, they're right with God. But let me tell you something. I want to tell you a story. There was something that happened several years ago that there was a person, a young man, that was a basketball player that was playing on a high school team. Come to find out that this young man was 25 years old and he went back to high school just so he could be the best on the team, right? I don't know why he would do that. That seems awful foolish to me, but he did. You can Google it. It's true. Somewhere in Texas, somewhere in the Dallas area. But here's the point. Here's the point. If I go and I'm 25 years old and I'm playing against 16-year-olds, then there's something wrong with me, right? But I'm really good at it. I'm really good playing with 16-year-olds. Well, go play with somebody your size. Go play with somebody your own level and your own understanding. That's what we must do. But see, what happens is when I go to another church and I'm everybody else is just dibbling and dabbling in sin, and I'm telling them in a greater way what they're supposed to be doing. I'm doing better, but you know what? I'm living below my level of understanding. I'm living in a place that God is not pleased with because I'm here. And yes, I'm the big frog in the pond, whatever you want to call it. But I'm living below my level of understanding. All right. Now, that person that's sitting right next to me may be saved and living to all that they know and understand. But if I have a deeper and a better understanding, then there is something that God is not going to let me by with. Does that make sense to what I'm saying? All right, so this is what happens. And what I've learned, and here I'm not trying to throw anything at anybody because I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're dealing with. But what I've learned is most people in the Church of God, we have a deep understanding of doctrine and an understanding of holiness and understanding of what God requires of us. And when we go to other churches, and I've seen this happen over and over again because I'm an observer. I like looking and seeing what other people are doing and then asking questions, and then they're share with me. So when they go there and they have they're on the boards and they rise to great heights. Why? Because they have a deeper understanding than the people that are around them. The Lord help us. Y'all still with me? It's true. But a foundation, because they've got a good foundation, they've been taught on a level that's well beyond most other people. I need to understand, well, what do we do about that, Brother Darrell? Our churches are so small and so little. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to do something. Maybe the Lord wants you to make a change. And that's what the Lord began to deal with me about. You've got to go and make a change. You've got to do something. You've got to stand on what I've given you. And not only that, but here's what my desire is. My desire is not just to stand on what God has given me, but my desire is to lift up and say, all right, the next generation, I'm straightening it out for you. I'm trying to do whatever I need to do, and I want you to take it much further than I ever could. All right? All right, so he says, they being ignorant,
you're at the God's third, righteousness.
They being ignorant of God's righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. All right, so they are going about to establish their own righteousness. So here, this is what I feel is right, and this is what I feel is good, and this is what I feel I need to be doing. This is what they're doing right here. And then they are establishing when God has already established something over here. All right? So God has, they've not submitted to God's righteousness. Let me tell you, I was one of those people that did not submit to the righteousness of God. I didn't think it was necessary, and I didn't want to do it, even if I thought it was necessary. I didn't want to do it. But here's what the Lord taught me. The Lord taught me, listen, in order to get to my heaven, you're going to have to submit to what I tell you is what's right and what's wrong. Nowadays, what's happening in our generation and what's going to happen more in the generation to come is that they're not going to know right from wrong, really. You think that that's not, oh, Brother Darrell, you're going to always have a clarity of what's right and wrong. No, they won't. Lord, help us. Because the foundation has been destroyed. It's being destroyed. All right? They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There has to be, in anything, there has to be a constant. There has to be something that is the same all the time. Yes. All right? If it changes, then everything, it destabilizes everything. And so when we talk about right and wrong, when we talk about the definition of right and defining right, it has to be defined by a constant. And so the constant that is in physics and all of these other things, they are constant. I'm not there as far as clearly understanding, but I know that there has to be something that's always the same. It's always the same. You know why people come back to the saints? You know why they come back to a setting like this? It's because there is a constant here. I don't want it right now, but I want to make certain that you guys are still doing it so that when I'm ready, I'll come back. It's happened over and over. We've seen it many, many times, right? So here's what I want to say to the saints. Let's be constant. Let's just stay this the way that we are. You know, I probably told you this too, but I feel like the Lord told, I said, Lord, here I am. You put me in situations where there wasn't an established congregation, and I had to do whatever I could do. And Lord, some things are a little bit different when you have a congregation that's not established versus one that is. And so when you're going to establish a congregation, what do? So the Lord gave me something, and it was something when I went to Dallas. And one of the things that the Lord gave me said, listen, there has to be something that stays planted. Your foot has to stay planted on what's right. So he said, as far as you can lean, as long as his foot doesn't move, you can do whatever you want to do. You can go all the way around. You can do whatever you want to do, but don't move that foot. Because that's the constant. And if you decide that you're going to move this and you're going to go in a different direction, it's going to present something in a whole different way, right? And so that has been, if you want to know my philosophy, that's my philosophy. There are some things that are constant. God is who He is. Holiness. There is a righteousness that the people must live. And then there are other things that maybe we can allow, quote unquote, if the Lord allows us to do that. But there is something, we've got to teach holiness. It's not going to be sin more or less every day. Or sin, you can do it sometime. Tell a little white lie. No, there are constants. May the Lord help us to understand that. All right? Okay, so let's go to Genesis, the third chapter, and I want to read start at the first verse.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
Serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that God had made.
And he said unto the woman, Yea.
Said unto the woman, Yea.
Hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the
garden? As God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
And the woman said unto the serpent,
We
may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
We can eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of
fruit
the garden.
Fruit that is in the, say it again.
Midst of the
but
garden.
The fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden.
God hath said,
Ye
shall not eat of it.
Eat of it.
Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Lest ye die.
And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die.
Ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and
ye shall be as gods,
knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the
tree was good for food,
and that it was pleasant to
the
eyes,
and
a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now, I want to share with you what just happened in this setting. First of all, the serpent asked Eve, can't you just eat of every tree of the garden? She said, oh yeah, we can eat of every tree. Now, they could have eaten of every tree of the garden except one. There is never a time in the existence of a man that there was not a law that restricted them. All right? So he said, you can eat of every tree of the garden except one. And then what did he say? She said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, here's what's happened. Here is the redefinition of what God said. And this is what's happening every day. So he's saying, we're going to redefine that. We're not going to reject what God said. We're not just going to completely just dismiss it and say that it's not true. No, I'm going to explain to you what it really means. So he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So I'm going to go against what he said, but now let me explain what I mean when I say ye shall not surely die. He says, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So God already knows that in the day that ye eat thereof, you're not going to die, but your eyes are going to be open. So he redefined it. He redefined what God meant. And this is what's happening in our world today, that there is a redefinition of every doctrine of God. Everything that we can stand, there is a redefinition of creation. Evolution, right? Redefinition. You can send more or less. There's predestination. All of these doctrines that have been redefined, we have to know where we stand. We have to know where the foundation of it is. We have to say, listen, by the help and by the grace of God, I am going to stand here and I'm not moving. Let me tell you, I don't have to go to another church. I don't have to go somewhere else to know that what we teach and what we believe is right. And I'm not just doing it because I'm a promoter of the church of God. That's not what it's all about. As I said, if you know me and you knew my experience and my background, I'm not that kind of person anyway. But I want to tell you what I do know and what God does require of us. We have to, by the grace of God, stand where God tells us to stand. The world is coming to an end. It's getting worse and worse. And if we continue to go down this slippery slope along with the world, where are we going to be? If the foundations, I believe in one scripture in Psalms, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But here's what we can do, saints. We can stand on what we know and what we believe. And if we don't have a personal relationship, if we're going off the relationship of our parents, which is what I was doing, going off the relationship of our parents, then we can have a personal relationship with the Lord. There's a person one time that told me one time, they said, I haven't missed church in 15 years. I'm talking about any service, night service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. Hadn't missed it in 15 years. And they were a right-hand person of a deeply spiritual person. That deeply spiritual person died on a Saturday night, Saturday day during the day. That person came to church on Sunday and missed the next Sunday and has been missing them for the last 30 years. You know what that means? That means that they didn't have anything to stand over themselves. That means that they were actually living this kind of a life because of what somebody else that was deeply spiritual motivated them to do. What happens? What happens if that little, this is what you're standing on and it's removed? What happens? Lord, help us. Know the Lord for yourself. Have the definition of what it means to stand firm and to stand right. Lord, help me to have it because the world is getting worse. And if you don't have an understanding of what God is requiring of you personally, you are not going to be able to stand. You're not going to do it. Lord, help us. It's going to be difficult anyway, isn't it? Alright? So, alright, let's go a little further here. So, God never intended for us experience wrong. He never desired that. We sang a song this morning, I believe it said, and the soul designed for light. It's the way it was designed, for light. It wasn't designed for darkness. And we don't want to be lost. The scripture, the songs talks about, and the soul designed for light must be sad and lost forever while it gropes in sinful night. We don't want that, do we? May the Lord help us. All right, we're going to go a little further here. I want to go to Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Now, while we're finding that, one of the things that we can say about Adam and Eve took of that fruit and she did eat. She transferred what she previously believed to something that seemed like a legitimate alternative. So sometimes we can be deceived to believe that there is something that is a legitimate alternative to what we're doing. And it seems like there's nothing wrong with it. Why would you say that that's wrong? It's a legitimate alternative to what I once believed. But let me tell you something, saints. Stand by what you know. We don't get a second chance at this. Stand by what you know. All right, read, please.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
We are all as an unclean thing.
And all our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf.
Yes. Okay, so it says all of our righteousnesses. Now, it did not just say all of our righteousness. Everybody has something in their mind that they believe is right. If we got together, we visited with one another, there would be something that I feel like, well, I feel like this is right. And then you may have something that said, I don't know, Brother Darrell, you're not taking this into consideration and that into consideration. And so we all have the way that we see things, right? The way what you believe is right and what I believe is right may be two different things, right? When it comes to just natural things, but when it comes to spiritual things, we can know what is right because it's the Spirit of righteousness that tells us what's right. That gives us the clarity and the understanding in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I want to know what's right. I want to know what's right in this situation. What is it that you would have me to do? How would you have me to do it? And the Lord gives us that clarity and that understanding. But if we just get together around the round table and we have, let's come to a decision as to what we're going to do, we'd have as many righteousnesses as we have people. Everybody has an opinion about it. And everybody's, the scripture says in one place, every man's ways are right in his own eyes. But God weigheth the heart. What do you have to deal with when you're dealing with right? You have to deal with a few things. It is not just, you got to deal with motivation. It's not just the thing that you're doing, it's the motivation behind it. All right? What's the motive? What's the spirit of the thing? Where is it going to lead? We don't know where those kinds of things are. It's not just the thing that we're doing, the action. It is what motivates the action that tells us all of that. So right is not just something that we see, or that this is, the devil can say, what did he say? We heard a message the other day about, cast thyself down, for thou knowest in the day that you do it, the angel shall bear you up, right? Well, there's a scripture that says that. We can go and point you to the scripture. But what is the motivation? What is the spirit behind the thing to make it what is, whether or not it's right or righteous, huh? We have to know what the spirit of it is and what the motivation of it is. And if we don't know that, we cannot determine what's right. What do they do in a court of law? One of the things that they do in a court of law, they try to find out what is the motive, what happened, and why did it happen. And if it happened out of a bad motivation, then the person is guilty. If it was just an accident, I didn't intend to do it, and they determine that, then that's something altogether different, right? May the Lord help us to understand every single thing that the devil does. The devil is doing it for a purpose. Everything that he wants you to do, everything that he endeavors to get you to do, what does he get you to do it for? He gets you to do it because he has a purpose, and that ultimate purpose is to damn your soul. Lord, help us. All right, moving toward our conclusion. We won't hold you long. Okay. We cannot trust in our own righteousness. Ezekiel 33, verse 13. When I say to the righteous, he shall surely live. If he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Lord, have mercy on us. It's a very serious thing, isn't it? Lord, help us. I want to read a scripture. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. Let's go there. Starting on that. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Spirit speaks expressly
that in the latter times
some shall depart from the faith.
Giving heed to seducing spirits
and doctrines of devils.
Speaking lies
and hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
What is seducing? If it means that you find a weakness in somebody and then you exploit that weakness. All of us have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. I have things that I have to watch for. I have things about my character, about their infirmities that I have to watch for. And there are certain things that I cannot do that maybe you can get away with. And you can say, it's not sin, Brother Darrell. No, it's not sin. And I agree with you that we can't say that it's just blatant sin. But it's things that I know about my weakness, I know about me, that I can't do. I can't follow you there. And the reason I can't follow you there is because that's going to take me, the next step would be sin for me. Maybe you can do it for the rest of your life, but I can't. So may the Lord help us. Something can seduce me. Something can seduce you. And if it's not something that's attractive, it's not going to seduce, right? If it's not something that you there's a weakness or there's a propensity or a natural propensity to that thing, it's not going to seduce you. But here's what's happening in our world today. People are wanting to be great. They want to be grand. They want to be something. They want to be like everybody else. And as a result of that, those kinds of things cause us to go astray. And one of the things that the Lord told me when he called me to the ministry back in 1988, he said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen in the church. You're going to see it in the church. You're going to see that there are going to be some that depart from the faith because they're giving heed to something about their character, something in them that is drawing them away, and as a result of it, is going to lead them astray. May the Lord help us. Because this was a testimony for me. This was a warning for me. I don't know. I'm just sharing you what the Lord warned me about. And I've seen in my own ministry, the Lord gave me that entire chapter of 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. The first verse says, the Spirit speaks expressly. There is no question in the Spirit's mind whether or not people are going to do this. Just don't let it be you. People can fool. My mother would say oftentimes, she said, you don't have to fulfill the Scriptures in that way. Scriptures are going to be fulfilled, but you don't have to do it. And so we've got to make certain. And you know what the Lord told me at the very last verse of that chapter is? It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in it, for by doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I say, not everybody's going to hear me. There are going to be people right here that are saying, you know, what's this man talking about? I mean, come on, Brother Darrell. Really, you believe that? Yeah, I really do, or I wouldn't be up here saying it. I really believe it. But he says, take heed unto yourself. Watch you. I cannot make anybody else do anything. Today is my wife and our 40th anniversary. But you know, in the 40 years that I've been with her, I haven't been able to make her do nothing. It's true. Let me tell you, I've been doing good to make me do something. I found that I'm the hardest guy that I've ever dealt with before. And here's the point. He said, but watch yourself. This is what the Scripture says. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. The doctrine of what? What doctrine? Well, the doctrine that the Lord told me about. The doctrine of the Church of God. Oh, you're going to follow all the doctrine of the Church of God? Yeah, by the help and the grace of God. Because why? Because He told me that. He said, continue thou... Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in it. For by doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I think sometimes people watch me and they say, well, you know, I want to know what that guy is doing out in California. I heard California's kind of liberal. What's he doing out there? Come and see. Come and see. I invite you to do it. By the help and the grace of God, we're endeavoring to live this life because if any state needs it, California does. And I'm learning that. But look, whatever state you live in, it needs it too. By the help and the grace of God, the Lord needs you to shine a light wherever you are. Whatever situation, He needs you to stand firm because some people are watching you. And let me tell you something else. There are people that want you to make it. They don't want you to change. They're going to be disappointed. If Brother Darrell comes and he makes all these changes and not, let me tell you, they'll never come up to me and say, are you really disappointing me, fella? I was really counting. They'll never say that probably to me, but let me tell you, they'll feel it and they'll say, listen, if he can do it, I can't do it either. I am an example to people. People have watched me over the years. You're an example to people. People have watched you over the years. You cannot fail. You have to stand solid. You've got to stand firm. You can't redefine what the church is. You can't redefine what the doctrine is. You can't redefine what all the things that the world is saying. You can't do it. You've got to stand strong. You've got to stand up. And you've got to stand right where God wants you. You cannot determine what's right and what's wrong. You don't have the capacity to do it. God never intended for you to have the knowledge of good and evil. He never wanted them to eat of that fruit. We know it, but let me tell you, by the grace of God, we cannot be successful and do it. May the Lord help us. I've got to make certain that the right and wrong, everything that I do, the Lord, I'm following the Lord. You know what has been defined? You know, one of the things that we see signs on there at home, we see they're saying, love is love. You know what that means? You can love anybody and you can love anything. No, love is not love. There's some love, some things that people call love that actually is defined as lust. And is defined as something that's abominable to the Lord. May the Lord help us. Now here, the whole point is, I don't want to offend anybody. That's not my purpose here. My purpose is to give us a testimony of what the Lord has told me, what the Lord has given me, and how things in our society are being redefined, and how the foundation that we have stood on for generations, how that foundation is being destroyed. And if we're not careful, we'll help destroy it. Because you know what the Lord's going to do? You know what the devil is going to do? The devil is going to make certain that there are certain people in our circle that are doing some of the things. And I believe all of us can say that there are people that we love that are doing things that they should not do. And you know, what do we do when that happens? When people are doing things that we can't do and I love that person, then, you know, there are some ways sometimes, if I'm not careful, I'll justify them doing it. Well, you know, that's just, and they sit down and they talk and they're pouring their heart out to you. Let me tell you, that hurts. It hurts when those individuals are doing that. But what do you do in those kind of places? Do you tell them, well, it's okay, bless your heart, you can go ahead and do it? No, you have to stand where the foundation is. You know, I know that's hard and I know it's difficult and I know that's not easy for you to do it, but here, the Lord has grace and His grace is sufficient for you. Saints, let's stand. Let's stand where the Lord would have us to do. After you've done all to stand, just stand there for, because what's happening in our generation, the devil is coming after us. He's coming after our children. He's coming after our grandchildren. He's coming after the church. He said, listen, we never thought that we would be able to say something like marriage has been redefined, genders. To me, gender is something so fundamental that it baffles me that somebody can say that they're not a male or a female. It baffles me. But it's happening. And let me tell you, there are other things that are going to happen as well. And what the Lord wants us to understand and what the Lord wants us to see is that this place that He has defined, this place that He has, this right, what's right and wrong, and is not going to be, well, what the philosophers say. It is going to be what God says. Pray for me. There's a scripture the Lord bringing to my mind before I sit down. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are some of us that are going to have to ask the Lord to give us a renewed mind, the way that we think about certain things. And if you've been out in the world and you've thought like the world has thought, then the Lord wants to give you a new mind. And He wants to give you a new heart as well. If you're not saved today, this is a good opportunity. May the Lord help. We want to be conformed into the image of God. We don't want to be conformed to the image of this world. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.